this is Phil Farron. Maybe I should turn this around the other way. And I am walking around. I just got back from a run, so I'm a little winded, and my voice is a little affected by the cold air, but that'll be okay. It is Thursday today, and it is Thanksgiving 2023, which is pretty amazing. I do have my dead kitten, whatever they call these things, filter on this morning. There is some wind, but the fuzzy little filter that I have over the microphones usually does a pretty good job of keeping the wind knocked down. We will hope that will be the case. So yeah, it's Thanksgiving. And I just today thought I would wonder again at the kindness and the goodness of God in my life. I have mentioned this several times over the past few months of podcasts, but I am just amazed more and more how wonderful His provision has been to me, how kind His thoughts have been towards me, how generous He has been with His advice. I am working on book 20. I just got to 90,000 words, and so I'm setting that aside, and now I'm going back to do the final editing, such as it may be, the final editing of book 19. And I am just amazed at how well all of that has worked out. I wouldn't say that it's an example of my best writing by any chance, because I just wrote it so fast. But I've been amazed through that whole process how that things have dovetailed together that I never intended to dovetail together, how possibilities have opened up in plot lines when I didn't know how I was going to get them resolved. And then we just keep moving forward, and we come to what seems to be a perfectly acceptable way to resolve those things. I mean, and it's just been all on the fly, off the cuff. I mean, it's just been, let's just sit down and write some words today. and yet, in all the space that there was in these books, you know, something cohesive has come out of it. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how cohesive, and granted, if I had gone back through it knowing what I'm knowing now, I could have dropped a few more hints along the way. If you hear a dog barking, that's Bella, because she hears someone moving through the woods, and it's her job to holler and yell. And now, apparently, our neighbors are out for a walk. And on the other side of the small lake that they have, there is a dog barking back to Bella. So we are flush with dogs this weekend. Because my daughter and son-in-law took their kids and they went up to Chicago, do a bunch of sightseeing up in Chicago, and then spend Thanksgiving with his folks in Wisconsin. They went without a car. So they're riding the L and they're doing all that kind of stuff. They've rented a B&B, Airbnb house up there. And so I talked to my daughter yesterday and she said they had a good first day up there and visited a bunch of stuff. So it's good, it's good. But watching this progression of things that I never intended, and yet they've landed in the right places. And I just, in the last, I think it was this last year, had this big turn that has come up that is supposedly going to happen at the end of book 20. I think it will. I do think it will. Oh, they're out here with their... They're out here with their golf cart with their dogs. I didn't see anybody. Someone must be investigating some. You know, this big turn that is going to happen, I believe, at the end of book 20, we'll see how it all writes out. Maybe 21. Probably would be good to be 20. There's actually two pieces to it. So definitely part one will happen in book 20, and maybe part two happens in book 21. We'll see. But this big turn that really turns everything upside down. And while it doesn't reorient who are the protagonists and who are the antagonists, it's... It certainly puts a lot of it in a blender. And it's going to be really interesting to see how I write out of all this. And it actually caused there to be a new role for the Dominion. For the battle cruiser, that's kind of the keystone of the whole series. The space battle cruiser, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Spaceships, that whole archetype. And honestly, at this point, I don't know how I'm going to write out of all of that. But I don't need to know yet. I simply need to know what's in front of me. What is the immediate next? And, oh, my watch is telling me that I've walked another kilometer. I couldn't figure out for the longest time because it was like telling me every 0.62 miles that I had done another lap. And I'm like, what? 0.62 miles? What? And then, of course, I realized, oh, yeah, right. It's doing kilometers. So that's interesting. My neighbor has come in and graded off a piece of pasture here. That little piece of pasture had been long enough there that it had these meandering streams around it. It was real pretty, but apparently he didn't, or she didn't, like the fact that they were losing some ground there. So it looks like they brought in a bulldozer and kind of flattened it all off and filled in the holes. So there you go. That's the first time that I've noticed that. And I come out and run, what, 3, 4, 5 days a week? Anyways, so there has been that whole progression through the novels of watching this thing develop when the task seemed ridiculous. And it is ridiculous. I mean, I'm closing in. I don't think I've quite hit 3 million words yet, but I'm closing in on it, and I'm closing in on 10,000 pages. You know, by the time this is all said and done, it will be 3.5 million words, and I don't know, somewhere around 1,200 pages. That's a lot of writing. And yet, you know, it's a matter of sitting down every day saying, okay, this is the goal today. Let's get this accomplished. It's just been fascinating. And it's been fascinating to watch how it's not just churning words. There's something coherent that's coming out of it and something that looks like there was a ton of planning to it when it was just a matter of moving forward. And I've mentioned this before, but like this particular book, I usually start with a nugget of an idea. And that nugget of an idea just kind of appears out of nowhere, of course. Jesus whispers, and then we go from there. And it's not just nuggets, but it's this amusing little wink-wink you know, thing that usually gets it started, where the nugget is intriguing or it's humorous or it's something, and I don't know that everybody will appreciate. Sorry, had too much saliva in my mouth. I don't know that everybody will appreciate, per se, some of the humor or will get some of the humor, but like I've mentioned this before, but book 20, I have said for years that writing these books, I'm down to the little bridge, but there's not much water running. It's still running, but it's just barely trickling, so you can't hear it. You can't hear the birds, though. It's a gorgeous morning. It's just an absolutely gorgeous morning. But yeah, I've mentioned for years that writing these books is sort of like being dropped into the middle of a forest at night in the fog, and all I have is a tiny flashlight, and my job, I can only see a few steps ahead of me, and my job is just to wander out until I get out of the forest. And I turn around and start heading back here. And I have told that story a bunch, and I was talking to Jesus about, okay, we got book 20, how are we going to get this started? And the Holy Spirit, Jesus, whomever, the kindness whispered into my soul, well, you've been saying that writing these books is like getting dropped in the middle of a forest. Why don't you start them out getting dropped in the middle of a forest? I'm like, I can do that. And then the forest turned into a thicket, and the fog turned into spores, and, you know, and then that turned went somewhere, and that went somewhere. So all of it's good, you know? It's just all good. And it's fascinating to get it out in the hands of beta readers, because I certainly have a projection in my mind about what is offensive to people and what isn't. I don't include anything simply because I'm trying to offend people, but I like to include things that cause a visceral response so that I can make a point. And book 19 certainly had their share of those. And one of my beta readers, you know, he was like, yeah, he said, sometimes I'm reading these books and I find myself, let the car go past, I find myself realizing that this isn't something I want to imagine, because of course as I'm reading, I'm imagining. I said, right, I understand. But the thing that he then highlighted that he didn't want to imagine was not the thing at all that I would have imagined that he would have highlighted. And that kind of reaction is fascinating to me. You know, that kind of thing where it doesn't play to my expectations. Yeah, it's very interesting. It's like the Lion King costume. You know, when I was in the unitard, fairly tight, granted all the bulges and curves are all kind of smoothed down, you know, there's no explicit shapes being seen, but by the same token, it's not completely flat everywhere. And yet, multiple older men said, hey, great costume. That's fascinating to me. So, the other thing, though, with the costumes has been that as I travel along that road, get an idea for something, and then start checking things out, it's It's really interesting because things fit together, and there are times, plenty of times, when I think, yeah, this isn't gonna happen, it's not gonna happen, I'm not gonna make it. And then everything gets done. I'm tracking one of those things right now because I'm working on National Bigwig Day. And nothing that I have to do there is terribly difficult. I kind of have a map in my head of where I'm going. And I've mentioned it to a couple of people, National Bigwig Day, because, you know, that's how I kind of keep myself accountable. I mention it to people knowing that if I mention it to people, I'm going to do it, you know. So I've been working on National Bigwig Day, and it's going fine, but there's a lot to do. And it is the fourth Friday in January. So I have to make this big exaggerated wig out of EV foam that I saw a guy making on YouTube. And I'm altering it a little bit for my design specifications. And of course, I have no tutorial from him. There's just pictures of him making it. And so I have to map that forward, figure out what kind of glue I'm going to use, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, I obviously have to keep work going, have to keep the writing going, then I'm doing this on the side. But through all of that, there has in the last, I don't know, 6 months, maybe 5 months, 4 months, certainly since my 65th birthday, there has come a settling that has just been this beautiful calm that has settled in. Let another car go by. And it's not that I was never worried about things in my life. I've always been, you know, reminding myself to trust God, reminding myself to take one step at a time, reminding myself. But I have had minor bouts with dread and the stresses of, my watch is talking to me again, just making sure everything's going fine at work and all that kind of thing. And lands, you know, in the last few months, things have just settled. Part of that is Jesus helping us at work to get solved the things we need to get solved, even if sometimes we do need to call on Rusty, which is just fine. Part of it is watching, coming up on truly the home stretch on the books, and seeing how faithful God has been through 10 years of writing this series. Actually, it'll be 10 years next year. But it's close. It's 9.5 years. Because I think I put out it would be 10 years. Because I think I put out the first book in 2014. And then I've done 2 books a year ever since. You know, so I'm walking up a hill. So it's really been fascinating, you know, to watch all of that. And then the costumes have just added in a completely new layer on that. You know, not knowing how everything was going to come together for National Nude Day, getting that done, having no pattern on Lion King, but just starting. I did have what I considered to be a high compliment We have a wonderful artist in our church. He teaches. He's the head of the art department at Evangel College, named Mike Bisking. He did a wonderful picture for the church where it's a lion head, but when you stare at it, there's a lamb embedded in the lion, and then there's Christ on the cross in there as well. It's really, really a beautiful painting. So we're going to get one for our house because they're doing prints. So it's really beautiful. And so I was jabbering to Mike because he runs camera and I was running sound. And I showed him a picture of the Lion King outfit. And he was very complimentary, which I took that as high praise because Mike is a tremendous artist. So I see that, you know, and then right now I'm in the middle of National Big Wig Day working on that, and I'm looking at the schedule going, there's a lot to do here. But by the same token, when I look at each individual piece, it's like, yeah, okay, I can do that. Yeah, I can do this. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. I can do that. And each individual piece, you know, doesn't look that bad. And it's a matter of just walking through it. So it'll be interesting. I think I have, from today, it's maybe like 8 weeks, maybe 9 weeks, 8 weeks. But step at a time. And then today, today, you know, I was looking through AliExpress because they feed me all sorts of weird things on my feed because I've bought all sorts of weird things from them. Just looking through AliExpress, came across this outfit. I was like, okay, that is very cool. And then I was reminded of a piece that I could put with it. And then, you know, Jesus whispers, you should see if there's a National Pearl Day. And I look and what comes up is Pearl Harbor. And I'm like, nope, nope, that's not it. And then I started glancing farther down in the list. And in fact, there is a Wear Your Pearls Day in December, and I can actually move a few things around to get to that. Whoa, we're about ready to run out of battery here. Yay, still have it. Did I run out yet? I haven't run out of battery yet, but I'm gonna. So now I'm, you know, looking to that. I got to talk to Lynette about that, see if that's something that she finds copacetic. But I am literally down to the last sliver on the battery meter, so I will just say this is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home. And I am so grateful and thankful this year for his provision in my life, for his kindness, for his wisdom, for his gentleness, for his adventure, for his humor. He has made my life rich, and I am thankful today. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.